Just give him a moment of worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship. Lift your hands and worship. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. We give you God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. Then give us a receptive heart and the strength to walk this word out, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but so that we can be doers and don't deceive ourselves. In the strong name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen. Stand to your feet as we read the word of God. Genesis chapter 4. Anybody grateful for Jesus? Genesis chapter 4. I'm just going to read verse 25 and 26. We will have one more passage I'll tell you about, but you'll have time to turn. I'll get to it later. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26 reads, Adam had relations with his wife again. Somebody say again. And she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel. For Cain killed him. To Seth, to him also a son was born. And he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. You may take your seat. Glory. Genesis chapter 4 serves as a beloved passage in the scripture for me because it serves as a transition point. We are in the second week of our series on prayer. And as I said last week, we would deal with the purpose of prayer, the protocol of prayer, and the provision of prayer. The why, the how, and the what. We began our journey last week in 2 Chronicles as we walked through the Lord's response to Solomon's prayer after building the temple. And we came to two important realities. Number one, no matter how good things are, pray. No matter how bad things are, pray. I'll do it again. No matter how good things are, Reverend Eason, pray. No matter how bad things are, pray. Today, as we continue to work through the purpose of prayer, I want to show you what Bibles call the principle of first mention. In order to understand the thing As Reverend Allen has taught us so many times before, you got to go to where it is mentioned first. Too many times we try to study a subject of the Bible while ignoring how it originated. And so I want to bring us to the first time, Reverend Jackson, that prayer is ever seen in the Bible. Too many times when we study prayer, we want to immediately go to the disciples asking Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." But prayer was not always God's way of communicating with his people. Oh boy, I'll do it again. Deacon Henry, prayer was not God's way of communicating with his people from the beginning. As a matter of fact, what you will find is God used to just walk and talk with his people, as Genesis would say, in the cool of the day. They had a walking, talking relationship. They didn't have to say, "Lord, I come before you as humble as I know how. Lord, I seek you." They didn't have to say, "From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who was and is and is." They didn't have to do that because God just walked with them. You know, like the song says, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." But the issue is something happened to disconnect us from God's original intention. If you will allow me to give you some context up to our Genesis 4 scripture, we know God made man in his image. Do we agree? We also know that the serpent tricks mankind into disobedience. Amen? Mankind then gets kicked out of the garden. Oh, here we go. They get kicked out of the garden and they are removed from God's original intent. In other words, a gap is created between them and God. There's distance between them and God. That's not the way he made it. Somebody just say, "That's not the way he made it." He didn't want us to have this distance in between us and him. His intention was we should just be able to talk to him anytime we needed to. But sin, write this down, creates distance between you and God. I'll say it again, your pen wasn't warm. Sin creates distance between you and God. So after they get kicked out of the garden, Adam and Eve give birth to both Cain and Abel. Mm-hmm. Now we know that Cain gets an attitude and kills Abel. And we can try to get all spooky deep if we want to about why God didn't appreciate Cain's sacrifice over Abel, and you really don't have to get that deep because Hebrews tells us exactly what the problem was. He says that he didn't offer it in faith. So Cain kills Abel, and this marks the first time that the world has seen death. And seen no death up to this point because man was supposed to live forever. Man turns against himself. God's original intention, are y'all walking with me today? Is that mankind wouldn't shed any blood. There was actually a symbiotic relationship even between man and the animals. Even the animals had no issue with man. They weren't designed to kill the animals even for food, y'all. God didn't create it that way. But as separation happened, we started changing the rules. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. This is what happens when we separate from our Creator. We start making stuff up, designing rules that we believe bring comfort to ourselves. Walk with me. And after they get out of God's presence, they turn on each other. Ooh, that sound like, oh, never mind. They turn on each other. Never mind.
Tell the truth.
Yeah. Huh? Ain't that how we do? Man puts even more distance between him and God. It's what sin does. It breaks fellowship. I said sin creates distance and it breaks fellowship. Now, without going through the entire bloodline, Reverend Allen is the expert. If you study chapter 4 of Genesis, you will find that the bloodline of Cain couldn't get it together. I mean, they kept doing silly stuff, y'all. So much so that within the bloodline of Cain, there's a man by the name of Lamech that is born. Now watch this. Cain kills who? Come on, class. Cain kills who? All right. So Cain turns against Abel. Lamech, on the other hand, tells his two wives, uh-oh, this thing is getting crazier and crazier, ain't it? God didn't create it that way, but by the time I get to Lamech, the line of Cain makes up rules. We're going to have a good teaching class today. The line of Cain makes up rules. They are disobedient to the design of God. Lamech has two wives. He comes home and tells his wife, he says, listen, you wives of Lamech. Go read it if you don't think so. It's right there at the end of chapter 4. Listen, you wives of Lamech. He says, I killed a man for wounding me. And then he says, and I killed a boy for hitting me. Wait a minute, Lamech. Cain kills Abel. Lamech done killed two boys. He killed one man for wounding him and killed a little boy for hitting him. Do you see the degradation of distance? The further I get away from God, the crazier we act. The line of Cain is disobedient to the ways of God. And so the further they got away from God, the more you start seeing, you did what? Have you ever heard one of them stories and people, so-and-so did so-and-so, and then they did so-and-so, and then did, and then before you know it, you're sitting there with your mouth open like, they did what? Oh, man. And then we say stuff like, I thought they knew God. I thought they went to church. It don't mean nothing. I hear you back there. Because when you're in the line, the mentality of Cain, you make up your own rules. Because sin creates distance and sin breaks fellowship. Now we come to our passage. Because by the time I get to the passage that I read for you, we've seen three murders. Lord have mercy. Folks is marrying multiple wives. And we see verse 25. Adam had relations with his wife again. Stop. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a bad experience and said, I ain't ever, never, ever, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, never, never doing this again. See, y'all play too much. Listen. I went to Old Charlie's and got some chicken fingers one time and got sick. I ain't never been back to an Old Charlie's nowhere in the country. Do y'all hear me? I ain't never going back to Old Charlie's. If I see Old Charlie's anywhere, I'm not going. Don't ask me if I want to go to. I got sick once. I'm not going back. Mm-mm, no. Y'all act like y'all ain't never done that. Huh? I had a bad hamburger in Wendy's. I ain't never ate Wendy's another day in my life. No, I don't even want to drink the Sprite from Wendy's. I don't want nothing. Because watch this, bad experiences create patterns. And patterns influence behaviors. And you tell yourself what you're never going to do because a bad experience causes you to become faithless. And before you know it, even when something good manifests itself, the pattern of your bad experience is louder than what is before you, and you'll say no to the good thing because the bad thing is so loud. And so here we see Adam and Eve giving us a character lesson of, even though Cain killed Abel and the entire bloodline of Cain has been going crazy, let's have another kid. Let's try again. Huh? And the next thing you know, Adam and Eve have another son, and his name is Seth. Now, Seth means appointed or placed. You see in the text, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel. Seth means appointed. Hear me. You can't allow trouble to cause you to give up, because when you trust God, even in the midst of chaos, hear me, he'll send you a Seth. Everything can be going crazy. Huh? I mean, everything. Can you imagine Eve? Come on, ladies. Let me talk to y'all. Can y'all imagine you sitting up there and you looking at Cain? And you like, that boy. I want to wring his neck. Like my grandmother used to grab me by my ears. Oh, y'all ain't never had a grandmother do that? She'd grab me by this ear and get to pulling, or get up under that armpit. Boy, you can move anybody under that armpit. Boy, come here. Can y'all imagine? And they have Seth. And Eve's language is, God, you appointed me a replacement. Not a replacement for Cain, but a replacement for Abel. Because she knew that something had been lost. But you can't allow trouble to cause you to give up. There's some things that I want to speak to you in this second part of this series. Listen, people of God, there's a Seth appointed for you. In the middle of your chaos, God will give you another chance. Right there in the middle of it, when you're sitting up there saying, all my hope is lost, God is like, no, I got a Seth. I can appoint another whole chance. I can give you a do-over. Amen. And so Seth is born. And then Seth starts an entire different bloodline. And from Seth comes a man named Enosh. Watch. Now Enosh, it says right there, to Seth, to him also was a son born. He called his name Enosh. E-N-O-S-H. Now the interesting thing about Enosh is, and this is why we don't normally like genealogy. Come on, can y'all be honest with me this morning? How many of y'all get to all the begats in the scripture and skip them? My young people, thank you. Thank you, some of the old people. So-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. And you're like, yeah, okay, get me to the good stuff. Because all these begats is too much for me. Then they get real close in name. Huh? Them L's. Well, now we got Enosh, who sounds strangely familiar to Enoch. Them ain't the same person. And you're trying to figure out who mama who, and who cousin is whose cousin, and you're just getting confused, and you just get me to the end point. Well, here's the interesting reality. Seth has a child named Enosh, who is the counterpoint to Enoch. In other words, Enoch comes from the bloodline of Cain, which we get Lamech. God sends Seth to give birth to Enosh, who's going to contradict the broken bloodline of Cain and give me the seeking bloodline of Seth. Now hear me when I tell y'all this, because I'm trying to get y'all to prayer. There's some stuff that you just got to say, I'm not going to do it the way I did it the last time. Y'all should say that. Are you hearing me? One in the choir. You got to say, look, Lord, because this is the way some of y'all need to start praying to Jesus. Lord, excuse me again. Last time, I didn't do right. My bad, Jesus. I had every intention. See, she got me. I had every intention of doing right. But Lord, it's me. I know I worried you this morning, and I know it's just noon. But Lord, the sister so-and-so two doors down is about to push me because I'm close to the edge, and I'm trying not to lose my head. And it's really getting rough up in here. And Lord, you better do something real quick, because last time I told her where she could go and told her to meet me outside. So this time, Lord, I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to act like that. Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, sweet Jesus, help me. You see, y'all be praying too cute. Y'all got to get right to it. Because some of us need a do-over. Some of us need God to give us another chance. And some of us, if you really want something to praise God about, how about this? We don't deserve another chance. But the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Thank you, Jesus. And so I got this new bloodline. And in the new bloodline, if you can, put verse 26 on the screen again. To Seth, to him also a son was born. He called his name Enosh. Then, Lord, yes. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So wasn't nobody calling on the name of the Lord under Cain. They was busy getting multiple wives and killing folk. Y'all not in the room, huh? But God was like, I'm about to send another bloodline who's going to get this thing back in order. Come on. I just like to speak a word over this church. And for everybody who's sitting here, God has a Seth for you. But the thing that comes with Seth is order. And when order comes, sometimes you don't like it. But when Seth comes, he's going to usher in a thing where people got to call on God. See, they weren't used to that because sin had created distance. Sin had taken them out of fellowship. And here comes Seth. And then Seth gives birth to Enosh. And Enosh said, hold on. God, where you at? Has there anybody ever been in a moment where you're like, Lord, I need you to come right now. Lord, I need you not now, but right now. I need you to show up, not yesterday. I need you to show up, I mean 2 days ago. Lord, I need you to show up, not in a few minutes. I mean, God, I need you right now. That's why when you start hearing words like, he's a very present. Y'all missed that. That's good news. A very present. Not a you gotta call him. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. So people began to call on the name of the Lord. Enosh represents the turning point where mankind begins to understand clearly, wait a minute, I need God. And see, that's what happens to us when we start walking the way of Cain. When you walk the way of Cain, you think you can do it because of your degree. When you walk the way of Cain, you think you can do it because your credit is good. When you walk the way of Cain, you think you can do it because of your pedigree. Because of whatever your last name is and who you know. When you walk the way of Cain, you think you can do it because you've been doing it for a long time. Oh, but those of us who are trying to walk the way of Seth and trying to behave in the way of Enosh, we know if it had not been for God on my side, those of us who are trying to walk in this bloodline, we know, God, I can't do it without you. And as a matter of fact, I ain't gonna try. Lord, we know I don't want to move without you. Those of us who are walking in this bloodline, line, say, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Y'all give me a moment. Y'all okay? Watch this. The word Seth said, I told you guys that word literally means replacement, but Enosh literally means human. As a matter of fact, another part of the definition is frailty. That's why we don't like this way. Because it literally means I am nothing without you. See, when this bloodline comes, it's like, I am not all that. See, that's what's wrong with some of us. We think we all that. Oh, it done got quiet in the church. Huh? Come on, that's called ego. Huh? It's called pride. And the last I checked, it comes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Oh, but those of us who are walking this way says, God, listen here. I know without you, I am nothing. Oh, come on now. The Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And sometimes I think, Reverend Allen, we say that word nothing too fast. Let me help y'all understand just how good that word nothing is. Apart from him, you can do no thing. Oh, yeah. rest. I can do no thing without you. I can't walk without you. I don't want to communicate without you. Without you, I'm not even a good husband. Without you, I'm not a good father. Without you, I'm not even a good man. Without you, I can't pray. Without you, I can't worship. Without you, I can't praise. Without you, I can't interact with my brother and sister in Christ. Without you, I can do nothing. But the problem is, Cain thinks he can do everything without God. You think we got many people who think that because they can afford it, they can do it. And the issue is, sin creates distance. He breaks fellowship. Enosh is the contrast. Instead of Cain's bloodline that had anger and murder and frustration and faithlessness and that distance, Enosh is the replacement. He calls on the name of the Lord. Something done happened to us in the body of Christ. My prayer is that this praying church, Tabernacle's a praying church. My prayer is that this praying church becomes a beacon of prayer. It's always been a praying church. That we represent those who call on the name of the Lord. And people say, Rem Jackson, it's old fashioned. It ain't old fashioned. Huh? Ain't old fashioned to call on Jesus. We don't need to do all that no more. Yes, we do. We call on everything else. We got to learn to call on Jesus. Huh? And they used to say in the midnight hour. You got to learn to call on him. But the problem is, y'all, excuse me, we don't know how to call. See, you can holler Jesus all you want and not call him. Excuse me? Well, it's like people, I've been up here 23 minutes. Y'all be okay. It's like people who say, they get to the end of their prayer, Deacon Moore, and they say, and I pray it all in Jesus' name. They go, that did it. As if in Jesus' name is the equivalent of our spiritual abracadabra. But to pray in Jesus' name is not to use that phrase like a period or like a punctuation. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray as Jesus would. The word name in the Greek is, watch this, it is the word onoma. It means character. So when you do all in the name of Jesus, you're doing things the way he would do them. Wait a minute. So when I pray in Jesus' name, I'm praying in his character or utilizing his method or the way that he would pray. You don't pray in Jesus' name by saying, Lord, go get them in Jesus' name. Like in Jesus' name, put an abracadabra on your messed up prayer. No, it don't work like that. You're in Jesus' name. When you use it like a punctuation, it don't cancel out your wicked heart that said all those words that didn't go with God. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're praying like Jesus would. To live in Jesus' name is to live like Jesus would. To worship in Jesus' name is to worship like Jesus would. So watch this. That's why we baptize in Jesus' name. To baptize in Jesus' name is to immerse people into his character, into who he is. As a matter of fact, when people meet us, they should meet Jesus' name. But if you ain't acting like he would act, they don't want to come to the church where you worship. Because then our worship looks hypocritical. Because if we are the visible representation of Jesus in the earth, and I see the way you act out there, I'm not coming to watch you perform in here. Yes. And so people, whoo, done got nice now, began to call on his name. They began to call on his name. And you got to know that I can call on your name when I've done wrong. Yes, I can. I can call on your name when my thinking is messed up and I feel alone. I can call on his name. I can call on his name when I feel lost. I can call on his name. And it's funny because when you see people calling on his name in the Old Testament, what they did is they would call on what they saw him doing. I'll give y'all one example, and then I'm going to read this last text, and I'm through. Watch. In the beginning, God. That's Genesis 1, right? That word God, El, it means high and lofty one. That's all it means. In the beginning, high and lofty one. But then Abraham takes his son, his only son Isaac, up to the hill. And he gets him down, and he's tying him down there, and he's about to sacrifice his one and only son. Right now Abraham only knows him as the high and lofty one, but he got him all tied up, and he gets the knife, and he looks over, and he sees the ram tied in the thicket, and he says, wait a minute, I now know you to be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. He called on the Lord based upon what he saw the Lord doing. So when you call upon the name of the Lord, you can be sitting there and say, healer. He's like, there I am. Deliverer, y'all missing it. Heavy load sharer, yoke destroyer, burden bearer. Come on, I'm calling on the name of the Lord. See, y'all ain't recognizing. You can call on the name of the Lord when you say stuff like peace, joy, happiness. You can call on the name of the Lord when you just say, I need you. Y'all, who is you? He know you're talking to him because he knows he's the only one who can keep you from falling and present you faultless before his glory with exceeding joy. You've got to begin to call on what he can do. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power which worketh in you. He is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. He is able. That's who I call on. I ain't got time to be cute when I'm falling. Help me. I'm calling on the helper. I ain't time to be cute when things are going crazy in my life. Make a way. I got to call on the way maker. I got to call on the wheel in the middle of the wheel. I got to call on the rose of Sharon. I got to call on the battle axe in the time of battle. I got to call on God, my peace. I got to call on my banner. I got to call on the one who I need. But what happened? I tell you what happened. When you go to Wayne or Cain, we believe that we got it all together. See, the issue is, Cain saw God's grace as getting away with it. Because God could have taken him out right there. And Cain was afraid. And he says, I ain't going to let nobody get you. And I believe that Cain was like, I got away with it. Which made Lamech all the more empowered to kill two men. Because if our bloodline gets away with murder, who gonna check me, boo? Yeah. And in the absence of standards, sin is normalized. Oh, it done got quiet now. In the absence of standards, sin is normalized. But I began to figure this out, and this is the good news about prayer, and I'm going to read this text, and we're done. Prayer closes the distance. Yes, sir. She caught it. Yeah. The distance created with sin, the disfellowship, prayer closes the distance. Mm-hmm. Enosh basically said, I'm too far from God. Lord, where you at? Think about the song that we sing. It's a really simple song. And growing up, I used to couldn't stand singing it. Every time we sang it, I was like, Lord, why we got to sing this song? Jesus. And I got older, and that thing hits me different. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When I hear, come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Y'all missed it. See? I couldn't stand it. That was always a song they would give to the junior choir. It's not wrong, right? I didn't like that song. But wait a minute. Come by here, my Lord. Then watch this. Somebody needs you, Lord. Come by here. That's a close the distance song. Somebody needs you, Lord. Come by. That's a close, y'all. See, it's about to start hitting y'all the more you go. I know, because that's one of those songs that when the congregation hear it, they go like, oh, that's cute. Mm-hmm. Let the little buds of promise get through that, the little baby choir, right? But that's a close the distance song. Somebody's praying, Lord. Come by here. Somebody's praying. Huh? I like this verse. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord. Come by here. That's good stuff. But Reverend Jackson, I didn't want to leave without telling the people how to learn how to call. First of all, to learn how to call, you got to get over yourself. You got to get over yourself and go ahead and tell the truth. Go and tell, Lord, I'm a mess. Come on, tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but truth. Lord, I'm a mess, everything's going on, we got problems. But here's the next thing, and I'm gonna read a couple verses, well, two verses, and we're done. Romans 10, turn to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 13. Now here's the gospel. Watch this. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord. Just leave this verse up. Don't you move it. I need everybody to internalize the gospel. Whoever. Don't you move this verse. I want it to stick till we get it. Somebody shout whoever. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know what else the word saved means? Rescued. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be rescued, even the people we don't like. If they call on God, they'll be rescued. And some of us gonna have real attitudes when the people you made an enemy get rescued. Like, God, why you rescue them? Because I rescued you. What they doing up here? What you doing up here? Why they getting blessed? Same reason you get blessed, because I'm good. They called on me just like you called on me. And watch this. Some of what we call blessing is not a blessing at all. It's the product of our work. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And if you got to work to keep it, Lord have mercy. It might not have come from God. Verse 14. How then, this the one, will they call on him whom they have not believed? That thing done hit Eason. I can't call on you if I don't believe in you. No. Don't you be hollering, come on by here, my Lord, when he's not your Lord. How will they believe in him whom they've not heard? Oh, God. How will they hear without a preacher? Now, everybody who stands behind the desk ain't a preacher. Somebody pray for me. Everybody that stand behind the desk ain't a preacher. Just because you got the title don't mean you a preacher. Because the word preach means to herald. It is a divine proclamation with a view to persuade someone to come to Christ, which means a charlatan is not a preacher. Yes, a manipulator is not a preacher. And listen, Tabernacle, we got to be a place where integrity abounds. And I know what's going on in the city. And I know what's going on in the community, but I thank God that there is a standard of holiness in this house where the word of God is paramount. Where, come on now, when the ministers stand up, they preach with conviction and they preach from the gospel, because that's how we hear. And when we hear, we call. And when we call, he answers. And when he answers, it changes. When we preach, you hear. And when you hear, you can call. And when you call, he answers. And when he answers, it changes. Let us never grow weary of hearing sound doctrine. Let us never grow weary of hearing the word rightly divided. Let us never get to the place where all we want to hear is the tickling of our ears. Let us never get to the place where we don't want to be convicted to conversion. Let us never get to the place where we can't look at ourselves and say, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Let us never get to the place where we look down our nose at others and we forget how far God has brought us from. Listen here. Whoever calls, I thank God that one day I was a whoever. I thank God one day I was a whoever. I was a whoever. I thank God for it. Because he could have left me. I think I heard somebody say, I could have died in my sin last night. But because of his grace. Anybody in this place willing to admit that you were a whoever? Do I have any whoevers in here? Come on, you was a whoever. Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. You was a whoever, and you called. And God says, here I am. He's like the prodigal. Woo! He's like the prodigal. The prodigal had done all manner of foolishness. But the Bible says when the prodigal was afar off, that means that the father was outside looking for him. Thank God that we serve a God who's looking for us. Huh? He's seeking such to worship. He ran out, and he called him. He said, kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. And just like some of us, it's that older brother. What you doing that for him for? Because he's a whoever. And he done come home. The doors of the church are open.